The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome. It's Court Radio, and I'm Dean Weitzman, joined today with my co-host, the one and only, you know him, folks, as David M. Rappaport.
Good morning.
Hi, Dave.
Hello.
Folks, if you've got legal questions, David and I probably have the answers, and if you stump us, there's going to be a prize today. All you got to do is give us a call at 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer. That's where you get your legal questions answered on Court Radio. Let's see, David.
What's going on?
Well, the world is as crazy as it always is. Did you hear that a woman was arrested after driving drunk? She got drunked up on vanilla extract.
I heard about this, and I didn't read it intently, but I do have two bottles of vanilla extract at my house that I'm going to go
suck down, folks, when I get home. I mean, you got to be an alcoholic to know that alcohol is, it's a high content of alcohol in vanilla extract, in all extracts.
Yeah, but how much would you have to drink of it to get actually drunk?
I think it's like drinking a shot, you know?
No,
it
just can't be.
It just comes in a small bottle. I think that it's like 50%, 25 or 50% alcohol.
It's more than beer. It's more than wine, isn't it?
This is not a new story in the sense that, you know, if you're a poor alcoholic, if you're a suffering alcoholic.
Right.
You
Sterno.
Know, Sterno, you know, if you gargle mouthwash, you know, they'll do whatever they need to do to get a good drunk going. And so it really doesn't matter whether you were drinking a Budweiser.
How about Nilla wafers? Remember those?
Nilla. Usually, David.
They make you eat a whole box of them and you'll not only die of heart disease, but you'll be drunk.
Clearly, you're not an alcoholic. Nilla wafers, by the time it's cooked, the alcohol burns off.
Clearly, I am. I know. I'm just being.
You know. Shame on you. Clearly, you are not a partaker of the drink.
Shame on me. Yes.
215-227-2727. That's Court Radio. That gets you into David and I. If you stump us today, David and I are going to take you to lunch. Yeah, on David. David and I are going to take you to lunch.
To McDonald's.
Somewhere near the office. we'll have, you know, there'll be a photographer, press photographer will come along. They'll be taking pictures. It'll go up on the website. It's going to be an amazing thing. All you got to do is stump us with your legal question. 215-227-2727. David, get the iPad ready, you know, in case we have to do some legal research.
Oh, yeah, you're not stumping me today. I can tell you that.
Let's talk to John from Northeast Philly who has a question. Hey, John, welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, it's John from Northeast Philly, Mosteller. I have my landlord's making settlement Monday on a duplex I live in, but we were on a year lease. Now, the lease was up. He was supposed to renew it, but he's like, oh, I'm selling the building, but we want to stay. He's saying that it goes month to month, but I went downtown. They said if he didn't amend the lease within 30 days of it being up, it automatically goes into another year lease. Is that correct?
Maybe.
That's what it says on the lease. One part of it, he just grabbed it off the shelf at Staples. He's a slumlord. I put a new kitchen in a place. I have all the receipts. This guy is like unbelievable.
Well,
if
all
it
right.
says
so
it, yeah.
The,
if it says
normally,
it.
Okay. Normally, yeah. A lease will say that it reverts month to month. But if those terms are missing, then the standard term is that the lease will renew for a similar term as the original term.
Excellent.
But here's the problem. Your landlord that you signed with is selling the property, correct?
That's what I'm worried about. The woman moving, like, she buys it.
Yeah, I mean, is she bound by the lease?
Well,
that's what I was told. Yeah, again, she's an illegal. Exactly, she's in a binded contract.
She probably is. She probably is. But again, that could be a term that's defined in the lease. It could say that if I sell this place, the new landlord is not bound by the terms of the original lease. You've got to take a look at the lease. The terms.
Yes. Yeah, that sounds right.
If the lease is,
I don't want to wind up in court.
Well, if the lease is silent on that issue, then your argument would be that the person who bought it was aware, or should have been aware, and they bought all of the leases as well. And that would be your argument.
I think that's a winning argument.
They could still file something in court to try and get you out, and you'll have to fight it.
That's what I'm worried about.
Well, you know, anyone could file.
I pay my rent every month. I take care of the place. Everything's fine. But I don't know what to expect from the woman. She don't speak English, and I don't want her to bring the whole village with her.
Well, listen.
Here's the good news, John.
Go ahead.
The good news is that she's renting. She's buying a rental property.
Right.
She wants tenants. She wants tenants.
Exactly.
All right. If you're a good tenant, and you're paying your rent, and you're fixing to join up, she's probably going to keep you forever.
That sounds great. I know. I'm just worried. I just had just a total nightmare the last year with this guy, and I'm expecting the worst.
Well, here's the deal. Don't be worried until you have something to worry about. So if she files against you, you have an argument. You have a good position. You get a lawyer and you fight her. That's all.
All right. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate the information. I should go through the lease and see if that changes if the owner sells the property to the owner.
Correct.
All right. Thank you for your information. I really appreciate it.
No problem. See you, John. Take care, buddy.
All right.
David.
All right. Yeah.
215-227-2727.
No lunches. One for one.
215-227-2727. Hey, David, they can reach us at myphillylawyer.com during the week. And don't forget, folks, you better call Dean first when you got legal troubles. You know, we had a ton. When I say a ton. Last week, do you remember what happened last week when we left the studio, David?
Yeah. We have to revisit this.
Yes.
I remember saying last show when you asked about the
I said folks.
Yeah, you said folks.
Let's reenact.
Yes, okay.
I said, folks, it's a little nasty outside. Stay inside under the covers while you listen to court radio. Give us a call with your legal questions. Don't jump outside.
And then I said, well, I don't know if it's that bad. I think staying inside is a little harsh. It's supposed to get nicer out, and everyone can go out. And you minimized. Right.
Dare I say, David.
We almost died.
You poo-pooed me.
I did. And then we left the studio and almost plunged to our death off the road.
Yeah. We slid. We slid coming out of the studio across four highway lanes.
Yeah.
Inches from the curb and near death.
But now it's going to be, the forecast now is mainly snow.
That's for this evening.
And tomorrow, this evening and Tuesday. Monday night into Tuesday, yeah. It's like a double storm.
Well, I'm just letting the My Philly Lawyer employees know that I will not tolerate them not coming into work tomorrow.
Okay, good.
Okay? So if they have to sleep over at the office tonight, take your time, get there. We'll provide Nilla wafers and some milk, okay? But you're going to be at work first thing tomorrow morning for all the callers. So Monday morning, we get calls from a ton of people who were involved in accidents, slip and falls, auto accidents.
Right.
We're going to talk about that later
today.
We're going to tell you why some of those cases might not be so good. 215-227-2727. Let's talk to Debbie from Allentown. Good morning, Debbie.
Debbie.
Good morning. How are you?
Hello.
Good, thanks. What's your question?
I just received a settlement from Spectre. And they settled on $6,000. Hello?
Yeah, we're here. We're listening.
Yes. They settled on $6,000. And at the close of the settlement, they said the lawyer would get $3,000 and I would get $3,000. Is that right?
Okay. First, lower your radio just a little bit so that we don't get the feedback. Second of all... Yeah, honey, he said, turn down the radio, honey. Okay, so Debbie, you settled for $6,000. You ended up netting $3,000. Is that right? And the answer is probably. It's hard to tell.
And I doubt the lawyer got $3,000. He took $3,000 total, but it wasn't his.
Sometimes there's
medical
legal costs.
Right.
Okay, so I don't know if a lawsuit was filed, if there were depositions. Sometimes there are medical expenses, and so it's not.
Well, his attorney was paid by SEPTA.
Well, here's the question:
your attorney was paid by SEPTA. Is that what you said?
I heard SEPTA had a legal fees.
Well, here's the question, Debbie: when you settled, is everything over? Did you get your money?
No.
All right. Well, when that happens, when you go to your lawyer's office, your lawyer should be giving you, or you should ask for, a distribution schedule showing you where all the money is going. In other words, there's $6,000. Where's it all going? Because if your fee agreement with that attorney is less than 50%, and I'm sure it is, then the lawyer can't take 50%. So I'm not sure I understand how they're paying his legal fees.
Yeah, there's questions.
It doesn't make sense to me.
But the answers to those questions are in the settlement statement or distribution sheet.
Yeah.
And he can't take his money. Nothing can happen to your settlement until you've agreed to the distribution. You're entitled to see it in writing and understand where the money went. And if you're not in agreement, you don't have to sign it until the dispute is resolved. So don't worry. Nobody can do anything with your money until you've seen what's going on. Every time we settle a case for a client, we bring the client in, we sit them down, we show them how much the total settlement was, and we show them where all the expenses went and where the legal fees are and how much medical expenses there are, what was negotiated. And if they want to see actual checks for backup, we have those as well. You're entitled. It's your money. No ifs, ands, or buts. All right, Debbie, thanks for calling Court Radio. Have a great Sunday. Hey, let's grab Rodney from North Philly. Hey, Rodney, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
All right.
We're fantastic. So, Rodney, I'm going to make this real short. The answer is no. Okay?
Okay.
No.
By osmosis, we
Rodney.
What was the question?
Rodney said, yes. Rodney said, he called me, he said, hey, Dean, am I obligated to pay bills or debts that are over 10 years old?
Okay.
And there's a statute of limitations on contracts that's 4 years. Now, here's the deal. Every time you make a payment, you kind of renew that contract. So if you haven't paid anything in 10 years, the answer is no. But if you were paying like $5 a week and you kept paying $5 a week and then about a month ago you stopped paying them the $5 a week, the answer is yes.
Okay. But don't they know that? Why don't they know that?
They do know
they
that,
do know
but
it.
Guess what? If you're not listening to Court Radio and if you're not sharp enough, if you're not Rodney, you might be reaching into your pocket to pay them. And a lot of people do. I know people who are smart who pay them. My cousin, Randy, somebody called about an old...
Well, he's not smart.
That's true. He's probably not. But Randy, he's a guy, you know,
yeah,
he went to school.
He's smart. He's educated.
He's supposed to be, yes. Somebody called him, like Rodney, about an old debt. And they threatened him. They said, we're going to ruin you and we're going to ruin your credit. And he, okay, here's my credit card. He paid the debt that was over 4 years old.
Right, of course.
Then, what did Randy do then? He called me, his
after
cousin.
After paying. Was I right?
Yeah, should I have paid them? Were they allowed to do that? I said, no, you idiot. Why'd you pay them?
Well, here's another example. This happens even more often the insurance company.
Wait. Rodney, did I answer your question, dude?
Yeah, to a degree, but do I need to get a letter or something and send to these people and say, leave me alone, or do I just keep...
You could write them a letter and say that you A, dispute the debt, B, it's over 4 years old, the statute of limitations is run, and therefore any further communication with them will be interpreted as harassment, to which you will sue them. There you go. Send that letter, okay?
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
And then, you know, then rest easy and...
Curl up. You know,
They called
my house one time and nobody answered. So we get the answering machine and it says, if this is not the wrong address, then you know I'm supposed to let them know. I didn't do any of that. So
right. Yeah, it's all nonsense. It's all nonsense.
Okay, good. I'll get the letter drawn up, and as a matter of fact, I have a lawyer draw me the letter up. And send it in to him.
Okay.
Rodney?
Thank you.
Take care, buddy.
So here's what I was going to say real quick. Like in our automobile cases, this happens all the time with insurance companies, with medical. Okay, the law is very specific on what the doctor can get paid from auto insurance, and it's very specific about what medical insurance pays just in a regular situation. And you know how many times insurance companies send out bills to the insured, you, that they're not entitled to money? Why do they do it? Because out of every 1,000 they send out, there's going to be some percentage of people that just sends a check in, not knowing. And how much money can they make from that? Thousands, tens of thousands.
There you go.
Yeah, and they do it purposely. I said it, purposely.
There you go. SRC can't cancel the teacher's contract. I think, I know. Being the son of two Philadelphia teachers. Two former Philadelphia teachers that are sucking the system with their pension, with their large pension.
They put their 30, almost 40 years in.
Did you hear me, Estelle?
I heard.
Did you hear me, Estelle?
Jan, and who's enjoying the weather in Florida right now.
Right. So Estelle and Sammy, Sammy and Estelle, they worked really hard as teachers, but no, the SRC canceled. The SRC is the board that governs the supervises the school district right now,
right?
Because we don't have a an elected board any longer,
right?
You know?
Right.
They don't have
appointed
that.
The SRC.
They appointed it. Appointed the SRC.
Correct. And then the SRC wanted to cancel the contract.
I wonder what the new governor, what the new governor is going to do with the SRC. What do you think?
I think there's a good chance he may abolish if he can.
Does he have the authority to abolish it?
I don't know. That's a good question. He probably doesn't alone. It probably needs to be an act of legislation.
No, we should have Mr. Wolf call in with an answer to that. Tom, if you're listening to Court Radio this morning, and I know we're a favorite of yours, just give us a call and let us know if the SRC is going to be around any longer. But nonetheless, they're there now, and the SRC does not have the authority, says the Commonwealth Court, to abolish the teacher's contract, because in their enactment, they were never given that right explicitly.
Thank God for the courts.
Yeah.
Huh? And what, you know, we have to mention this because it's beloved by you, and that is Governor Krispy Kreme.
Yes.
Over the river.
Over the river.
He is unilaterally taken upon himself to try and save Atlantic City.
God bless him.
You know that they're hemorrhaging, so he just enacted emergency management team that
what do you think,
circumventing.
David? Do you have a prediction? Is he going to run for president?
No.
No. I don't.
That's my prediction.
Okay. I don't know. But did anybody see, or did our listeners see him in the box with Jerry, Jerry Jones?
Made you want to throw, yes.
Is that his name, Jerry Jones?
Yep, made you want to throw up.
The owner of the Dallas Cowboys, as they're playing the Eagles in Philadelphia, our town.
Hugging and kissing.
Yeah. The governor from an adjacent state is in the owner's box of the Dallas Cowboys, hucking it up as they beat the Eagles. Does anybody find that distasteful?
Yes.
I did.
I did too.
I mean, we should have been throwing Twinkies at the owner's box. Come on, enough.
Well,
you know what?
That's
all right. That's all right. My prediction is correct. He's going to go down. Somebody nasty like that shouldn't have the trust of the public. 215-227-2727. We have Tracy from Sicklerville, New Jersey.
Oh, there we go. Krispy Kreme territory.
Yeah. Hey, Tracy.
How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning to you. You got a good radio voice.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I'm calling because I've been sick for 2 years. Over 2 years, I have epilepsy, and I had a heart attack and had heart surgery. And that was in May. And when I got out to hospital after like a month, my utilities were turned off when I got home. This Atlantic Electric, and they won't work with me at all. I haven't had utilities since May, and my whole house is electric. So that speaks for itself. I'm in a terrible situation. I filed for disability. I've been rejected 4 times.
Have you gone to... Okay, 2 things first come to mind right away. A, with the utilities, have you gone to every utility in I would think every state has a special department that handles people with illnesses or some type of situation. In other words, they don't want to just cut you off and leave you with nothing if you are unable to pay at all, because you could, you know, that could have serious health consequences.
I've been to every agency. They want balance and full. I had found a relative who would get me the service again. They said balance and full. They won't even consider giving me energy at all.
Okay.
It's $3,000, and I had a lot of blood transfusions and stuff like that, which I never could get cold warm last year.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, your question is, would filing for bankruptcy help in this situation? And
yeah,
how
soon does that
immediately. It eradicates.
So if I filed,
go ahead.
If I filed bankruptcy, they would be notified immediately.
They would be notified
fairly
immediately.
Quickly. Yes.
Yeah. And bankruptcy attorneys would probably send a copy of the petition if they knew it was this important. They'd send it to a special number, fax number, and get it right on somebody's desk immediately. So that may be a solution to your problem on the short term. But you're going to still have to, you're still going to have to pay your current bills. Bankruptcy takes care of the past due balances. It has no effect on the current balances.
Well, see, I don't have any current bills.
Well, you will.
They shut it.
Right, but you will as soon as the day they turn it back on.
Right, but the existing bill would be wiped
gone.
Out, right?
Wiped out.
Correct.
Yep.
Okay, because I'm living below poverty level. I only get $210 a month. And this whole house is electric.
Yeah.
And in the wintertime,
when temperatures go down, David's correct. There are special programs during the winter to put heat whatever your form of heat is, to put heat back on. And especially when you have a medical report that says it could be life-threatening to you.
Do you own the house?
No, I rent, and my landlord has been very good to me.
Good.
But
thank God for small favors.
Yeah, my doctors have sent letters to them. They said it had to be documented before they turned it off, and they won't even consider, getting energy to this house until the balance is paid in full. I talked to them yesterday.
It's horrible. All right. Well, in any event, the answer to your question is that bankruptcy could be a solution for the past due bills. And if you need referral for a bankruptcy attorney, I know you're in Jersey, but by all means, you can give us a call during the week and we'll get you the name of somebody in Jersey who's doing bankruptcies. 215-227-2727. Thanks for calling My Philly Lawyer, and have the best Sunday that you can have. David, we're going to take a quick break. We got announcements, but we'll be right back. I want to talk about what happened last Sunday with the storm and how it affects people and their claims. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years. It's a legal and financial squeeze. You're unable to work because of an accident, but your legal case is still not settled, so you can't pay the bills to take care of your family. But now, thanks to U.S. Claims, you can. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 1-877-US-CLAIMS. While you're waiting for your settlement, U.S. Claims can help you pay the bills. Get out of the squeeze. Call 1-877-US-CLAIMS today. If you have legal problems and need answers, call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first at 215-227-2727 for personal injury, medical malpractice, birth injury, and more. Call Dean first.
He will fight for your rights. That's what Dean Weitzman is all about.
Call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more court radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. It's Court Radio and I'm Dean Weitzman, joined with my co-host, David M. Rappaport.
Hello. Good morning.
You should have seen, folks, David and I cut some commercials.
Oh, that was fun.
This week.
Yeah.
In the studio, you'll see them upcoming on your TV sets. Commercials advertising Court Radio, and David was a star.
You'll mostly see the back of my head, actually.
But what a head that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, right.
Yes. All right, let's talk to Sandra from Mount Airy. Sandra, you're the first caller after the break. Make it a good one. What's up?
Okay. I have an issue, please. I had a boyfriend like 3 years ago. We decided to move together, and within a couple of months, he left. He moved on. I moved on.
Good riddance to bad boyfriend. Good riddance.
Yes. But, however, the problem is that he is still listed on my lease. And I've talked to my landlord. She refuses to remove him. And I don't know where he is, and I don't know what to do. Because I still get his mail. I did not throw him away. I took him to the post office, told him that that person does not live there anymore. At this point, I don't know what to do.
Well, how is it a problem for you? Why is that a problem?
Well, because I'm thinking maybe if I'm at work and he decides to come in there, they can open the door of my apartment for him.
That's a good answer. That's a good answer because you're probably right about that.
Yeah, but after 3 years, yeah, it's doubtful.
I don't know
but
what to do.
Okay, well, so what you do is you have a year-to-year lease, I assume, and each year your lease renews.
Right.
And so.
Yes.
Okay,
well,
so when, you know, and so
but
he's,
you do nothing and it automatically renews. So
right.
Here's what you got to do. Go ahead.
You got to tell the landlord you want to renew your lease and you want to change the occupants of the house and you're going to be the only one signing. And that's it. You're going to sign a new lease for a year and you're going to sign it in your name only. Now, mind you, you could also modify the lease, perhaps, by sending a letter to the landlord saying, as you know, Ms. Landlord, this fellow has not lived here for 2 years and 10 months, and he is no longer, an occupant of this household, and I have been solely responsible for the payment of the lease for the last 2 years and 10 months. Please remove him. You know, if you send such a letter and he shows up tomorrow and says, hey, I let me in, I think you'd have a claim against her for, really, if anything were taken, for the losses you've incurred. Because you put her on notice in writing that he's not an occupant of your house and hasn't been. And she knows that. So I would do that.
But, I mean, that's the key.
Yeah.
Occupancy. If he's not occupying it. And there's no money owed, then she wouldn't even have a right to...
By the way, did you change the locks in the last 2 years
and 10 months? Yeah, yes, I have that done, and I wanted him to be removed from the lease. And what they stated is that there's a form that, you know, he has to sign stating that, you know, he no longer lives there. But I don't know where he is. So
listen, again,
yeah. I felt like I was stuck.
I think the whole thing is that when the lease comes up for renewal...
Yeah.
You enter into a new lease, and you're the only one on there, and that's the way they get around it. The lease is over. 2 months before the end of the lease or whatever that period of time is, you send a letter saying that you are terminating the current lease and that you will enter into a new lease under your
okay.
own name only, and then
okay.
that solves that problem.
Yeah, I think okay. they're being a little ridiculous that they won't just change it, because the only reason I could think of for them not to is if money were owed and they wanted the ability to get that money from him.
Sandra, thank you.
He's been out of there.
Yeah, so it makes no sense.
You're a good woman, Sandra. You probably should get a new boyfriend after 3 years. You know, give the men another chance. You know, Larry's sitting here with his keys, fingers on the keys, just waiting for a chance. Thank you for calling Court Radio, Sandra, and have a great Sunday.
Thank you so much. Same to you guys.
You know, David, I was kind of thinking Sandra was going to say that it was in the middle of the lease.
Right,
you know,
that's what I thought.
And the boyfriend took off.
Right, right.
Well, if it's in the middle of the lease and they lease it to two people.
That person's responsible as well. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But after 3 years.
Right. There's no I don't understand why they wouldn't just agree. They'd have no ability to get anything from them anyway.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense.
Let's take a new caller. And one who's actually calling about a motor vehicle accident.
Wow, okay.
Shocking, isn't it? You know, before we take the caller on the motor vehicle accident. Let's talk about last week.
Yes, let's do it.
David and I were coming across. We're leaving the studio. you heard that we slid across four lanes. You know, we weren't prepared for it.
No.
As many people weren't.
Many weren't.
So we realized, okay, it's dangerous. We're going to go right back. I'm going to take him back to his car, which is parked at my joint. And we're going to go very slowly. We're slowly inching down City Line
Avenue. 5 miles an hour, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really hairy.
Coming across the bridge over the Schuylkill, and there's a whole line of cars coming down off of the expressway into that bridge, all stacked up, smashed into one another, and askew. And so we inch our way home. The question is, I got a lot of calls from people who said, I was in an accident, you know, and I slid into the car in front of me, and the car behind me hit me. And the question, when we get down to it, is you've sustained an injury. We have to be able to establish who caused that injury. When you struck the car in front of you, were you injured? Or was your injury only from being struck from behind, if that's how it happened? If this is a chain reaction type of a loss, and you struck the car in front of you first, the argument is that your injuries emanated from that impact. It's very difficult to tease out which injuries came from which impact. So we were just routinely not taking those cases last week when that became such a difficult thing to prove. You know, it's not you just don't come in and say I was in an accident and I was injured. There's cause, you know, it's not often an issue.
Well, you always get your medical bills paid, and we've already gone through that a million times. You got to make a claim with your own insurance. Doesn't matter who caused it. You get your medical bills paid. You can get medical treatment. But the issue we're talking about is claiming damages for your injuries against a responsible party. Because really, I think, Dean, you and I spoke about this, 90% of it can be said to be your fault because everyone has to be in control of their vehicle. You know, so if it involved a multiple car thing and you were hitting someone in front of you, who's to say you didn't cause
it? Now,
everything?
We took some of those cases where folks...
Right, they're stopped.
They came to a safe stop.
Right.
Their vehicles were under control. They came to a safe stop and were struck from behind by multiple cars. We've taken those cases. 215-227-2727. Let's talk to line one. I think it is Daishia. Daishia from Blackwood, New Jersey. Did I say it right, Daishia?
Yes, you said it right.
Cool. Because I can butcher the best names in the world. So, Daishia, what's your question?
Okay, last year, my daughter, who's 18, was in a car accident in her car. The car struck her. We got a police report. It was the young lady's fault. She was the responsible party. When I called the insurance, when the insurance company called me, where I had to report it to her insurance company, she didn't have insurance. She was a young girl, so I decided that, you know, I wasn't going to tell my insurance. My daughter's car wasn't damaged that much. She did take responsibility. She's been paying me since last July out of her pocket for the damages. My daughter is schooled away in college in Florida, was summoned last week, and the summons states that she's being sued for $50,000 for someone that was in the other girl's the responsible party's car,
right?
Because she was found responsible for the car accident.
Right.
My question is, can my daughter be sued even though she was not the responsible party.
Yes. And the answer, Daishi, is this is still America, and your daughter can be sued, even though, okay, the bringing of the lawsuit doesn't make your daughter responsible.
No, they have to prove it.
They have to prove it. And but can she be sued? Of course. Will they win? Probably not. If you're telling me that the other side's been paying you and it's a clear-cut example of the other side being at fault. However, let me say that when you have a lawsuit, it's the pie, if you can picture a pie of negligence, a sliver of that pie might be the negligence of your daughter, while the vast majority of it may be the negligence of the other driver. And so this innocent third party passenger who has no part of the pie at all, okay, if they've got $1,000 in damages, your daughter may be responsible for $10 of that, and $990 may be the responsibility of the other driver. So you can't say that she's not going to get hit for something, because I don't know the exact facts of the accident.
But you have insurance, right? She had insurance.
Yeah, I had insurance. I didn't report it to my insurance company because...
Well, you better do... Not a big... No. Listen to us. Stop right there. Mm-hmm. You best report it immediately. When did you get notified of the lawsuit?
A week ago.
All right. Call the insurance company immediately, because that's your safe haven. They will appoint a lawyer for your daughter, and they will fight the case. And if you lose, if your daughter loses any percentage like Dean is talking, your insurance will pay. If you don't call your insurance and don't let them know about it and let it go on, they could do what's called disclaim coverage, which means they'll say, you didn't tell us about this. Now we're jeopardized because we can't fight it properly. We're not going to give you coverage. And then it's out of your daughter's pocket if she's found to be at fault.
So tomorrow morning,
call immediately.
Tomorrow morning, call the carrier, whoever it is. Let them know you were sued. They'll open a claim, and they'll ask all the facts of what happened. And it's not that big a deal. They'll take care of it.
They want to talk to your daughter, obviously.
Yeah. And they can do that over the phone.
Right.
And ask her what happened. And once they get the story, they'll defend you. But you need...
I also got a certified letter from the girl who was in the responsible party. She worked with the girl that was in the car, and she said, I had talked to her about it. She said they were talking about it, saying that they wanted to sue because they wanted to get paid. So she wrote me a letter, and we got it certified stating that they planned to do this because they wanted to get paid.
Well, you give it all to your lawyer.
Yep.
The lawyer that's appointed.
Give it all up, but definitely notify your carrier. And Daishia, we're going to give you a Court Radio T-shirt for your... Excellent question today. Stay on the line. Monica's going to get your address.
Thank you so much.
Have a great Sunday. 215-227-2727. Slip and fall accidents. Got a ton of them.
Yeah, same thing.
Ton of callers. Right. Here's the deal with slip and falls, folks. If it's in the midst of precipitating, and it's a residential property, it's in the midst of precipitating. They really don't have an obligation to make their sidewalk safe when the storm is still a brewing. Okay, in Philadelphia, for instance, there's the 6-hour rule. 6 hours after the last snowfall, people have to get out there and clean their sidewalk and make it safe.
Yeah, it comes down to notice. They have to know. I often use the example with clients of a supermarket. If you walk into a supermarket, you know. And you walk into the produce section, and there's a customer right in front of you, and they drop an apple on the ground, and it smashes, and then you immediately walk into it. How can you hold the supermarket responsible? They didn't have a chance to clean up. They didn't even know it fell. But if the apple's been on that floor for hours, and it's all dirty, and they didn't clean, now they had notice. So there you go. There's the difference between the two.
So, and the law says that they'll presume 6 hours is sufficient notice for purposes of trying to figure out whether somebody should have cleaned their sidewalk. So that's the bottom line. And, now I've made the argument, David, where it's a business. Let's say a Wawa or a 7-Eleven, something that's open 24 hours a day.
Right.
Their lights are on. They're encouraging people to come in and shop. and it's snowing. And right. they just totally disregard their sidewalk, and it's a real hazard to get in. I say those folks can't wait the 6 hours for the snow to stop. They've got to be constantly shoveling and salting.
Well, they can't. That's a business invitee. You're invited. You know, resident is different. Residential is different.
Right.
That's a business. They're inviting you to come. They need to make sure
it's
safe.
If the business is open for business and inviting people in, I think it has to be safe for you to get into the joint. But most other businesses that aren't open and residential properties, I think the storm has to stop before the duty secures to them that
duty.
Duty.
You said duty.
Yeah,
D-U-T-Y. That's an FCC violation.
That's D-U-T-I-E.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
sorry.
I think. 215-227-2727. That goes with bummer, and poo-poo, duty. Okay, 215-227-2727. Let's talk to Rena from Allentown. We got, Allentown's calling hot today in Allentown.
Hi.
Hi, Rena. What's your question?
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a pretrial case Tuesday, actually. It is for custody. My ex-husband, this is his third time filing for more custody because we could not agree to him. He wants more custody. He wants exact 50-50. I have primary physical. He has partial physical, but we both have 50% legal. His reason for doing this is really based on child support. But now he says he wants to be able to move the girls to another school district, which he think is better, and then they can have his address. My question is, how likely is he able to do that?
Well, that's a very difficult question to answer. But the answer, I believe, is generally speaking, it's whatever is in the best interest of the girls. And that's going to be a determination made by the fact finder, whether it's a hearing officer or if you take it up to a judge, if you can't agree, but by a judge. If they're already in a school and they've been there and they're happy and they've got relationships, I would think that his burden would be extra onerous. It wouldn't just willy-nilly move them to another district because it might be technically a point or two better than the previous district. If they're doing well, if they have good relationships with their teachers and friends, I don't think they're going to be moved unless there's really a strong showing that they need to move into this district because some bad things are happening in the other district. So it really becomes a fact question as to what's in the best interest of the kids. And I think, having them in their previous district and having them, in good relationships with teachers and faculty and students and, I guess, groups, kids are in music groups and all that. Whatever they're doing, the more that you can show that their lives are fine and they're enriched and they're participating, the better off you are in establishing that it's not in the best interest of the girls to move to another district. It's in the best interest of your ex-husband to reduce his child support. And that's really the motivating factor here. I think that that's kind of the tack you have to take.
Yes, that's the motivating factor of it all. That's how I just started, even though I did lower it for him. I lowered it, but I guess I didn't lower it enough for him.
Let me ask you something. Are you represented by counsel in this upcoming hearing?
No, I do not. I do not have an attorney.
Yeah.
Not on Tuesday. This is for the pretrial. If we do not agree, then yes, in the trial, I'm going to definitely need an attorney for that.
And did you know, Rena, that did you know that My Philly Lawyer is now doing domestic relations litigation?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah. So all you got to do is give us a call during the week at 215-227-2727. Our team of attorneys, and it's we're going to have Irina Shiloh on the show coming up in a couple weeks. Irina is doing the domestic relations out of our Philadelphia Northeast office, the branch in Northeast, and she'd be happy to talk to you about your case and help you with some representation. So if it doesn't work out Tuesday, by all means, keep us in mind for domestic relations, because in addition to doing the personal injury and complex civil litigation for Med-Mal, we're also doing the litigation on domestic relations. Thanks for calling today to Court Radio.
Okay, great.
Have a great day.
Thank
and
you.
Good luck on Tuesday, okay?
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. 215-227-2727. So, David.
Yes.
We got a caller. You going to announce who the next caller is?
Oh, I gave you the slip back.
You did?
I did.
Here, I'll let you do it.
The first, wow. Ooh, we have line two. We have Nina from Germantown.
There you go. See, David, how easy that
Nina,
is.
Nina, how are you? Nina.
Yes.
Ah, you're there. Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Welcome to Court Radio. We're well. What's your question?
I just wanted to ask about the statute of limitation.
Okay.
For old medical bills back from the 80s and 90s and old car tickets from the 80s and 90s.
Well, I'm gonna jump out on a limb here for the medical bills and say, from the 80s and 90s, you can forget them. I don't think anyone could possibly get them from you unless it's an insurance issue. If it's just something that you owe personally and it's been 15, 20 years, forget it. Forget it. There's no way they can get that from you. Okay, now.
Okay, but do you still have that on the credit? Is there anything I can do about it still being on the credit?
Yeah, you can write to the credit. You can write to the credit bureau and explain to them that it's been since whatever year. And that there's the debt is not payable anymore, and then they have to revise the records, and then they will go about doing that. You know, now the parking ticket issue is a little different. Okay, the parking parking ticket issue is interesting in this regard. There is technically a 3-year statute of limitations. Okay. However, the question becomes this: first, were the parking tickets was something done on with regard to the parking tickets? In other words, did the court issue a subpoena or a court date for the parking tickets, and then they were just not disregarded?
No.
What do you mean? So the parking tickets were issued. There was never any court hearing. They never pursued them. They just went away.
Yes.
So how do you know you still have them?
Just recently.
Yeah.
They start sending me a paper saying that I owed them on the car. I haven't heard from them in years about those tickets.
How old are they?
I told you, some of them's back in the 90s.
Oh, forget. Okay. The judge has the option, and the judge would exercise that option, I'm confident, to dismiss all of them. The only exception to this is if you're the person on the tickets, were not living in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania for a period of time. That would toll the statute, which means that would stop that statute until you came back. But if you were here the whole time and they never did anything on these tickets and that much time has gone by, you can, you're going to have to go to court, though, but you can make the judge dismiss all of those tickets and penalties and interest and all that. It's just too much time has gone by. If it's within that 3-year period, maybe it's like 2 years, 3 years, the judge has the option, and the option could be that they charge you something. But after 5 years or more, I can't imagine that they would do that. Well, you're going to have to do. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Actually, the car was looted and towed and sold. They sent me a paper and sold.
Right.
And I don't know what they did with all the money that they got from it.
Well, you need to respond to the ticket and get yourself a court date so you can go in front of the judge and say, get all of this off. And the judge, I'm sure, will do it after all that period of time.
Yeah. Here's the one downside. I once had a friend. His name was Chuck. And Chuck had a lot of tickets. And they weren't parking tickets. They were moving violations.
Right.
But he had, you know, 30 or 40 moving violations in every county in Philadelphia and surrounding. And the statutes had run on all of them. And we'd go in one by one to the counties. And we would raise the statute of limitations and have the tickets dismissed. A couple counties, though, and they all did it. They all eventually did it. But a couple counties said, well, You disregarded a court order to appear in court.
See, that's the difference. There's the difference.
You disregarded a court order to appear in court. And yes, it's beyond the statute of limitations, but we're going to hold you in contempt of court for failing to come. Mm-hmm. And so then we had to deal with whole contempt of court issues.
The judge has discretion.
We paid a little bit of a fine for the contempt of court, but the tickets were dismissed. You're on fairly strong ground, young lady. Have a great Sunday, and thanks for listening to Court Radio.
Yes, thank you. Bye-bye.
David?
Okay.
We've got a two-minute break, and we'll be right back, folks. We got plenty of time left for some more questions in Court Radio. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years. It's a legal and financial squeeze. You're unable to work because of an accident, but your legal case is still not settled, so you can't pay the bills to take care of your family. But now, thanks to U.S. Claims, you can. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 1-877-US-CLAIMS. While you're waiting for your settlement, U.S. Claims can help you pay the bills. Get out of the squeeze. Call 1-877-US-CLAIMS today. If you have legal problems and need answers, call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first at 215-227-2727 for personal injury, medical malpractice, birth injury, and more. Call Dean first.
He will fight for your rights. That's what Dean Weitzman is all about.
Call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome. It's Court Radio and I'm Dean Weitzman. If you've got legal questions, David and I have the answers. We also have some nice new nifty Court Radio t-shirts that if you're lucky enough, you might get. All you got to do is call us with your questions. 215-227-2727. Let's talk to Antoine from Northeast Philly on line one. Hey, Antoine, welcome to Court Radio. Hello?
Antoine.
Antoine's
sleeping.
I did leave him on the line for quite some time. Yeah, I was negligent impatient. In that regard.
Impatient.
Uh-huh. Let's talk to Renee from West Philly. Hey, Renee, welcome. Yeah, line one. Gone.
Wow.
Monica, what are you doing over there? I think we should bring a lawsuit against Monica.
Yeah, it's either her or the impatience.
She's got everything, you know, a little bit askew this morning.
She wasn't
right from the time she walked. The poor girl walked from 54th Street.
She expended
and
City
all
Line energy.
Avenue. I don't even know what she was doing on 54th Street and City
As
Line
we like
Avenue.
To say, she's full blunget.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Let's talk to Marcia from West Philly on line three.
Marcia.
Hello.
Hey. Finally, Monica got it right. We got Marcia on line three. All right, Marcia. So tell us, what's going on with Marcia today?
I had a motor vehicle accident August of 2014. I was hit in the rear by a car, and I was docked into a pole.
Okay.
There was a lot of damage to my vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fairly new model vehicle with 8,000 miles on it at the time of the accident, and the insurance company decided they were going to get it fixed.
Okay.
So they cut a check within a week. I selected an auto body shop for the, you know, for the repairs. So my car is still there, and it's almost 6 months. The insurance company only paid for 61 days for a car rental, so I'm out of pocket for almost $5,000 in car rental fees. The auto body shop is not trying to work with me at all with my rental fees for the, you know, the cost of the rental. So
I'm wondering if I can take
the body shop to civil court to recoup what I'm paying out for my rental.
Okay, so the answer is yes, you could take them to court, but you're going to have to show that they violated a contract or were negligent. One or the other.
How do they have it for so long? I don't get that.
That's everyone's question.
Well, did you ever ask them? Did you try?
Well, they're always saying, most times they're saying, it was more damage than we initially thought. And then another time they would say, we had a funeral today, and my guys, we all had to go to a funeral.
So have you gotten the car? I mean, what's stopping you from getting the car now?
Well, I attempted to do that, I think it was about 3 Fridays ago. And so they wanted me to sign a waiver saying that they're not responsible for, you know, responsible if nothing was repaired. It was, you know, they're just trying to get out of having to.
All right. Here's a question. Do you have a lawyer?
Well, I have representation through my union, but, you know, it's limited. So they have.
You're in an auto accident. Were you injured in that accident?
Well, yeah, I do have an attorney for once the accident occurred.
That attorney's
office said that they're not responsible for the personal property damage part of the accident.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
They just want to, please.
They just want a fee out of the bodily injury.
Yeah, they don't want to help you. They just want a fee.
Listen, you have to wonder whether, you know, you got the right attorneys on the case.
Obviously you don't, because you're calling here.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
We just lost. She just had a cellular malfunction.
She's probably still listening.
Yeah, well, no doubt.
But obviously, right? She's calling here. There's a problem.
Yeah. I say this. Here's the answer to your problem. You should demand that your attorneys get involved in that aspect of the case. And it isn't something that we want to do, but it's something that we need to do. When we represent somebody, it comes with whatever problems arise from the claim. And yeah, it's nice if it's clean and you don't have to worry about those kinds of things. But sometimes that's not the way it is. And you got to take what you got to get. You know, you got to deal with what you got. And so I would say that this shouldn't be your burden. Okay. If you're under representation on a bodily injury claim, you should have all aspects of the case handled by the law firm who's handling your bodily injury claim. And if you're not, then find another lawyer. There's plenty of lawyers out there, and go get yourself another one because you obviously need one. That's my answer to that.
I agree.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I don't know who it is who's representing you, but, you know,
that's
bottom line
right.
is it's
yeah.
not right.
No.
And we should wrap this up then, David. And I got to tell you, folks.
We weren't stumped.
We were not stumped. Maybe next week. David and I will leave it on the table. We're taking you out to lunch, our expense. David and I to a restaurant, an expensive restaurant.
Oh, an expensive.
In Center City, Philadelphia.
Okay.
Have a great week, and we'll see you the same time, same place next week.
Good morning.
The preceding was a paid program of MyPhillyLawyer.com.